Well, I want to thank all of you for being here on another gorgeous morning. And as always, I ask you to open your Bibles and follow along with me. I don't want you to take my word, or please never take any man's word. And I invite you back at 3 o'clock, where we're going to continue our talks on the Bible. This evening, I'm going to talk about why is the Bible hated. This morning, though, I want to talk to you about the way of the cross. The way of the cross. I'd like to begin this morning by turning our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2 and reading verses 20 through 24. 1 Peter chapter 2. There Peter wrote, beginning in verse 20, "For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed." And in this passage, Peter is addressing the subject of Christian suffering. The suffering that he speaks of is not suffering that comes from as a result of some evil that we have done. Rather, it's suffering that comes about because of the good that one does. And the good here is the idea of doing what God would have us to do, living like God would have us to live, and he is talking about being mistreated for doing the right thing. When this happens, Peter tells us to think of Jesus. He says, think of Jesus. He taught us how to live in that he did not sin and spoke only the truth. He never lost control of himself and he was never deceitful or misleading. When he had abuse heaped upon him, he did not respond by railing or heaping abuse in return. Even though he could have called 12 legions of angels to his rescue, he did not threaten retaliation or retribution. Instead, he entrusted himself to God. He took no personal action on his own behalf than to commit or commend himself to God. He even went to the cross for us, confident that the Father's judgment would be just. All this was an example to us, an outline to follow in our lives. What a glorious opportunity, brethren. What a glorious opportunity we have to walk with the Lord, to trace and follow his tracks in his life and even in his death. We can walk with the Lord in purity and in integrity and in hope. I'm reminded of the Lord's statement in Matthew 16, verse 24. Let's look at that together, if you would. Jesus said, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." To follow Jesus is to follow him even in the way of the cross. I've asked Brother Bill to lead us in Psalm number 546, which is "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." Let's stand now and sing that song. 546. "The Way of the Cross Leads Home."
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but there. I shall make give sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I may. The
way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights of God, where the soul is at home with God. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. And I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. God says, come, and I seek my home, where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. I'd like to talk to you this morning about the way of the cross for the remainder of our time. As the scriptures describe it, the way of the cross includes many things. First, it is most assuredly a way of humility and sacrifice. Humility and sacrifice. Turn with me, if you would, to the second chapter of the book of Philippians, and let's read verses 4 through 8. That's Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. Paul wrote, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now, I don't know about you, but I don't understand all that was involved in the Lord making himself of no reputation or emptying himself. And I know that I don't understand all that was involved in the Lord humbling himself, even though I know that the ultimate outcome of that was his death on the cross. But I do know that if I'm going to walk with Jesus, following his footsteps in the way of the cross, I have to have the same type of attitude. I know that I must be willing to pour myself out as Christ did. I know that I must be willing to think first of others and to serve them selflessly and not selfishly. I know that I need to look at Jesus and see the Son of God who freely and lovingly chose to live as a person without advantage, denying his own rights and privileges and placing himself completely at the service of mankind. I know that if I'm going to walk with Jesus, even the way of the cross, if I'm going to follow his steps, I need to be of that mindset. Brethren and friends, the Lord is first. Others must be second. And then comes me. And the way of the cross is a way of surrender and obedience. As the Lord Jesus was making his way from the Last Supper to the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed a beautiful prayer to his Father that's recorded in John the 17th chapter. Let's look at one of those verses. John 17. In verse 4 of John 17, Jesus prayed have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. In just a few short time, he would arrive at Gethsemane. By the way, brethren and friends, this passage, John 17 and verse 4, this passage alone does away with the false doctrine of premillennialism. Turn with me to Matthew, the 26th chapter, if you will. Matthew 26. And there we find, beginning in verse 37, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Three times, brethren, three times Jesus prayed to the Father to let the cup pass from him, but he would do whatever the Father wanted. If we want to walk in the way of the cross with our Lord, we must also walk in complete surrender to the Father's will and humbly obey his every command. Again, Jesus is our example. Turn to Hebrews, the 5th chapter, with me. Now the Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Obedience. And brethren, to walk in the way of the cross is to walk in the way of service. Jesus is our example. In John the 13th chapter, the Son of God girded himself, took a pitcher of water, a basin of, and a towel, and proceeded to perform the act of the lowest of servants. He washed his disciples' feet. Come with me to John the 13th chapter. Jesus said, beginning in verse 13 of John 13, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Jesus walked the road of service from the manger of Bethlehem to the culmination on the cross of Calvary. Service is what brought Jesus here. He died a vicarious death, the absolute epitome of service. Look with Mark 10 real quick, if you would. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. I know, and I'm sure, that this is what the Lord meant when he said in Mark 10 and verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And the way of the cross is the way of compassion, the way of compassion. I think of Jesus as he made his way to the site of his crucifixion, turning to a great company of women who were wailing and lamenting after him and saying, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. I think of Jesus hanging on the cross, his body sagging down and the nails in his hands, bearing the greatest amount of weight, and in the midst of that pain, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I think of Jesus saying to the penitent thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I think of Jesus looking down from that incredible instrument of inhumanity, seeing his mother and being concerned for her. He said, woman, behold thy son, referring to the Apostle John. And to John he said, "Behold thy mother." Thus, even in agony, he cared for others. I need to have that kind of care. I need to have that kind of compassion. I need to look at others and consider that they are lost and they need what I have. I remember Stephen as the stones crushed into his body, bringing his life to a close, yet he said, "Lord, lay not their sin to their charge. He was walking the way of the cross, the way of compassion. Look at Romans chapter 9 with me, please. I think of Paul's incredible statement in Romans 9, verses 1 through 3. When he's speaking of his fellow Jews, he wrote these words, verse 1. "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart." Now listen closely. "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." That is compassion, brethren. That's compassion. That's compassion to feel so strongly for others that I'd be willing to give myself up. That's the way of the cross. And let me tell you, brethren, the way of the cross is a way of victory, too. Way of victory. Walking with Jesus humbly and in sacrifice, in surrender, in obedience, in service, and compassion, it all results in victory. I'd like you to look with me to Hebrews, the second chapter now. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 14 and 15. The Hebrew writer wrote, beginning in verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Fear of death makes you subject to bondage. Brethren, if you're a Christian, you don't fear death. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verse 55 with me. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. I hope you see, brethren and friends, through the way of the cross and the subsequent resurrection of Jesus, we're able to cry out in verse 55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But listen now, but thanks do be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The way of the cross is victory. And to walk with the Lord, to walk in the way of the cross, is to walk in the way of the victorious. The victorious. It is to be free from bondage of sin, free from the fear of death. Turn with me to Romans, the 8th chapter. I'd like to bring our lesson to a close this morning with the glorious words from Romans, the 8th chapter. And we'll read verses 31 through 39. Romans 8, verse 31, Paul wrote, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" You ever think about that statement? If God be for us, who can be against us? "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, but we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For he says now, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, what a passage. What a statement. Brethren, think about this. In Christ, God's love for us and our love for him meet. The way of the cross leads home. Jesus is our friend. He's the best friend we ever have. He wants us to be his friends. He put it like this in John 15 and verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Because he is our self-sacrificing and loving friend, we show our friendship towards him by faithfully obeying his commandments. We're not his friends if we rebel against him, go beyond his word, live in a worldly manner, or disregard his authority as Christ, the Son of God. Our finite minds cannot comprehend all that is involved in the nature of Christ, but we can honor and praise him as the Son of God. And the eunuch confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, before he was baptized. Remember that in Acts 8 and verse 37. May we always treasure this great truth in our hearts, and may we never be guilty of trodding the precious Son of God under our feet. Let us confess him with our lips and by our lives. So, my dear friends, and I mean this sincerely, you are my friend. If you're not a Christian, I beg you to come forward and repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Then you'll be added to the Lord's church by the Lord himself. And you'll be on that road that leads to heaven. So won't it be wonderful to leave this building knowing if Jesus comes back today, you will go home to heaven and live with Jesus and the Father forever in peace and in bliss. Isn't that wonderful? There may be some here this morning who are Christians, that maybe you've fallen away. Maybe you've sinned in a way that others are aware of. Maybe you've sinned in public. And if you have, you too need to come confess and repent of God and then come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. That's what it's all about, brethren. That's what it's all about, going home to heaven. Can we help anyone make their life right with God? If we can, please come now as Brother Bill leads us in our invitation song.